Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Last week we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the due time crew, and we started off with the woman who wanted to know if she was wrong to not help her boyfriend, save face, at a dinner that he couldn't afford with them and some friends. So the story is real simple. A woman went out with her boyfriend and some of their friends, and when the check came, the other two men at the table decided to offer to pay the check. Well, he didn't want to feel or look bad, so he leans over to his girlfriend and he says, you know, I really don't have the money, but can you, you know, just give me the money and I'll pay a third of the bill and I'll just pay you back later. Well, she didn't do that. She decided that she would take things into her own hands and she offered to pay the bill. Yep, she said that she would pay the other third of the bill, and she did. And when they got home, that wasn't a good conversation because he felt embarrassed and he felt that she should have covered him until later. Well, what do you think? Well, the due time crew unanimously felt that, yeah, go ahead, you take care of that. And you take care of that, giving me the money and let me pay the bill. And this way, you know, we know the next time. Well, the other thing that came up was, this is something that they really should have discussed before they went out. Now, would you know necessarily that the other two guys were going to offer to pay the bill? Maybe not. But, again, before you go out, be proactive. Just say, listen, I really don't have a whole lot of money on me, or I have this much money, or I don't have any money, which she knew. She knew. And clearly to me, this is not the first time he's going out with no money. So I think she was trying to teach him a lesson. What you think? These relationship things just don't cease, right? Right. Well, Monday is our switch tip. And our switch tip of the week was... Where's my switch tip? Oh, here we go. Meet God's requirements. Yes. Now, here's the interesting part. We just got finished talking about requirements at the table within a relationship. Well, I have to tell you, if you are having problems meeting those requirements or that one requirement, then you really need God. You really need God, to be honest with you. You really need God to help you, you know, get yourself together so that you don't even experience these kind of things. Because, in all honesty, you would have known to have this conversation. No, you don't know what to expect in life. You know, things will slap you in the face at the last minute. You're like, oh, wait, I didn't think about that. But God does. And if you just meet the requirements of God to just do the basic things between you and him, I promise you, he will prepare you for all of these other little things that pop up. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be a glitch here or there, but let's talk about this particular glitch. As we said, you know, this was something that could have easily been handled, because I know she wouldn't have done that the first time. If she's a, you know, a real, you know, average woman who wants to support her man and, you know, wants him to look good, because that's the first thing she would have, you know, done. She could have found a way to slide him the money, you know. Listen, again, they're not sitting across the table from one another. Probably they're sitting as couples. So, you know, she could have easily just taken care of that. But probably what's been happening is he's done this on more than one occasion. I mean, I'm talking about even between just the two of them. He's gone out and, you know, when it comes time to pay the bill, he was like, oh, yo, babe, I don't really have it, you know. Or other times when they've gone out to some other place or something like that, you know, at the last minute, he doesn't have it. So probably that was her flexing, because it was just teach the lesson time. Well, you know, if you meet God's requirements, they're a lot simpler than you think. Yeah, I got to tell you, it's not as hard as you really think that it is. And, you know, once you start meeting God's requirements, can I tell you, it gets easier and easier and easier. Yeah, it does. It really does. It's going to be those, you know, those big things that you got to go, oh, you want me to do that? But honestly, when you think about it, it won't be that hard. So, come on, start the process. And once you start the process, then you'll be able to continue the process with the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? All righty. Let's see what else we got. Let's talk about it. Tuesday rolled around. And, you know, we got to a really interesting conversation. And, you know, it all started off with the dog pooping on the airplane. And we got to talking about the fact that these dogs are everywhere. And, you know, there was some statements that were made about just, you know, the dogs now having to be our friends and not people. And Shantice brought up a dynamic point. And, you know, I want you to go back and listen to that conversation, because it was really a good one. And unfortunately, you know, it was a good conversation, but the best part of the conversation happened when it was time to close. Yeah. We got down to the last couple of minutes. So go back and listen. All right? Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around. Yes. And we talked about things people decide within minutes of meeting you. Now, some of these things are pretty accurate, and some of these things are, like, way off. You know, we talked about, you know, people don't really know how to trust you in, you know, the beginning minutes of seeing you, you know, of meeting you, of just setting their eyes on you. You know, people, that's something that people have to size, instantaneously size you up. And most times, they're wrong. But you do have to, at the end of the day, really, you know, assess whether a person is trustworthy, because you don't know whether to hold on to your bag. But the bad part about that is we can look at it with, you know, the black and brown community, where people are judging the book by its cover. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know, people can determine how smart you are when they meet you. That's what this article says. You know, that's what people say. Well, sometimes you're on the right track. Yeah, sometimes once a person starts talking, you're like, oh, brother, I could tell this one ain't got all they french fries in the basket. But other times, you can't. But what we kind of, how we summarized it all was, again, God, the discernment that the Spirit of the Lord gives you. You're going to have to really, really, really kind of lean on God for that. You know, you're not going to be able to determine all of these things about a person once they meet you, you know, once you meet them, rather. Okay? All righty. Well, Thursday was an absolute treat as we had Pastor Mark Sowersby on, and he is the author of Forgiving the Nightmare. And oh my goodness, did you order your book yet? Oh, if not, please go to Amazon and order the book. Pastor Mark was on here. This book is his personal testimony, his journey as to, you know, how he actually was able to forgive some serious things that happened to him from when he was just a little boy. And I mean, this was multiple things that happened at the same time. And, you know, most of us as adults are really trying to find our way, really trying to find our way as to how to forgive things that happened when we were five. You know what I'm saying? And all I can say to you is God. Oh, my goodness. And God is definitely in this book. I started reading the beginning of this book, and I could not put it down personally. Yeah. Now, maybe some of it, you know, there's a reason for that, but it was really good. And when Pastor Mark came on and started talking about the trail markers, oh, that was, like, amazing. And we pretty much hit every trail marker in this book. Yeah, we did. We started off with prayer. We touched on love. We touched on trust. We touched on friends. We touched on, you know, the forgiveness factor and, you know, that breaking down and victim to victorious. These are the chapters that are in his book. And I got to tell you, amazing. Amazing. Such a wonderful gentleman. Such a wonderful gentleman. And you're not going to be disappointed. I promise you. Go back and listen to the conversation with Pastor Mark. Go get the book. It's really worth it. I think it's almost around like $20 or something like that. You're spending $20 on a whole bunch of junk. Anyway, get the book. Get the book. Because I say you're spending money on junk anyway. You've been wasted your money, and here it is, something good you could spend your, you know, your good dollar on. It's worth it. I have to really really tell you, it's really good. All right. Well, that's how we spent our week. There was no Friday with technical difficulties over here in our neck of the woods, but here we are. We are back at Shaking the Monday Morning Blues, and we had a phenomenal weekend. We went to a concert, and it was really, really good. Last Supper with the King in the Bronx here in New York. What a wonderful presentation. And it was really nice, a nice way to spend your weekend. Yeah, so we're going to get this party started. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
I'll admit it. I've kept a few secrets from my wife.
My husband still doesn't know the real story about that dent in the van.
I've never told her that I used to be a lifeguard at a nude beach.
I've never told my kids about the time I was arrested for streaking.
My friends don't know that I still sleep with my teddy bear.
But they all do know one thing about me.
And that I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
And that's one thing that's too important to keep a secret. Because I could save somebody's life. How cool is that?
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Oh, yeah, it's already here. Time is flying by. Do you realize we're in the middle of April already? Woo! I can't even keep up. But God has been so good to us, hasn't he? And so grateful to God that he brought us safely through another weekend. We are back together again. Ooh, I'm excited. Well, let's get to our health tip and get this morning underway. All right. Constantly while I'm on the internet searching for our wonderful news stories, this ad keeps coming up, and I believe we touched on this before, but, you know, I don't know if we really did it in this manner or talked about it in this manner. Avocados, if we did, then listen, take it as a refresher. Okay, I love me some avocados, and I love guacamole, and I keep coming across this ad that talks about how beneficial it is for our health. So yesterday, I stumbled across the benefits of an avocado. There's this thing, you know, it keeps coming up. Eat it, and what this will happen to your body if you eat an avocado every day for a month, every day for a week, every day for this. So I got tired and I decided to do my own query, and I came across this article. So get those pens up. I haven't said that to you in a while, right? Get those pens up as we talk about our health first thing this Monday morning. So avocados, the benefits of avocados. It will boost your satiety. Yeah. They say eating healthy fats. Now, this is an avocado is very interesting, and you'll hear some of the things why I say it's interesting, because it's actually, it helps your body in like really weird ways. So it says it helps to slow your stomach from emptying. So in other words, it helps you feel full fat longer. Okay? So they say you go through the day not feeling as hungry. And they say the fat content in avocados primarily comes from heart-healthy monounsaturated fatty acids. Okay? So if they say if you add a half of an avocado to your meal, it significantly boosts your helps you feel full 5 hours longer. Okay? All right. We're just going to do it like that since my tongue can't say the word a second go around. All right. The second thing, they say avocados help to manage your body weight. Okay? So they say that because it helps you feel longer, feel full longer, that one avocado a day for 12 weeks will help you with weight loss. Okay? Yeah, because you're eating less. Plain and simple as that. They say avocados increase soluble and insoluble fiber intake. Soluble fiber slows down digestion and the absorption of ingested fats and carbohydrates. Insoluble fiber, on the other hand, adds bulk to your stool and helps to eliminate digested food from your intestines. Okay, so that's one of the ways that, you know, avocados is good for your health. All right, another way, protects your heart. They say consuming an avocado has heart protective effects by improving your lipid profile. Eating one avocado a day for 5 weeks reduces total cholesterol, lowers bad cholesterol, low density lipoproteins, which is, it raises your good cholesterol, and it is definitely great in that area of protecting your heart. These avocados are an excellent source of potassium, okay? And it's excellent to help treat high blood pressure, all righty? Number four, it prevents diabetes complications. Ding, 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 ding. That's for me. So they say if you have type 2 diabetes or an insulin resistance, the higher your blood glucose level rises, the more your body produces insulin to lower your blood sugar. So adding avocado to your meals can prevent insulin and glucose levels from rising following the consumption of a meal. So they said even adding half an avocado prevents the rise in insulin and glucose. All right? Sounds good to me. Again, that's the second time I've heard and we've read this morning, half an avocado. Just half an avocado. So imagine. All right. Number five, it boosts your nutrients. Okay. So the nutrients, they say, it absorbs more antioxidants from other healthy foods. Wow. So pairing avocado with tomato sauce and carrots boosts the absorption of vitamin A, which is a crucial nutrient that we need for healthy skin, vision, and immunity. And they say people who consume avocados have significantly high intakes of the following nutrients: fiber, healthy monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, magnesium, potassium, and vitamin E. So eating avocado, like, puts extra power to the other foods that you're eating. Now, how many foods can we say actually do that? And now, we've read a whole lot of stuff over these years of, you know, being on the show. And we have never read, very, very, very rarely, if ever, we have read that you can eat something that boosts everything else you eat. So get that avocado. Okay, number six, avocados promote healthy digestion. Okay, avocados positively impact the gut and your digestive tract. Woo! They say a healthy gut microbiome strengthens immune function, fights inflammation, and protects against chronic diseases. A 12-week meal plan containing avocados resulted in positive changes to the gut microbiome over the 12 weeks, increasing the overall diversity in your gut health. Nice. Nice. Seven, increases brain function. Avocado is rich in lutein. That's a pigment related to beta carotene and vitamin A. All right. They say in older adults, eating one avocado a day for 6 months improved performance on memory tests. Wow. Wow. One avocado a day did that. They said for 6 months. Wow. Protects your eyes. Okay, wow. They say there are antioxidants actually found that help your eyes, specifically a macular pigment, which is what gives your eyes the ability to fine-tune your vision. Eating one avocado a day for 6 months increases the amount of macular pigment that results from the increase of these antioxidants. And they say, in addition, avocados seem to increase the absorption of lutein better than taking just one supplement. So here it is where they're saying the natural food is better than the supplement. So eat that avocado. So, okay, so just right between these last two, one avocado a day for 6 months increases your brain function and protects your eyes. Wow. And one more point, anti-cancer properties. Yeah. So avocados, again, are rich in antioxidants. So extracts of avocado pulp or the fruit have been found in to have cancer-fighting properties. An extract containing several antioxidants. Woo! Stop the growth of prostate cancer cells. Another extract killed oral cancer cells. So, eat those avocados. So, there we have it. You know, what happens when you eat an avocado a day? So, we've got avocado, half an avocado a day for 12 weeks. We've got information on a whole avocado for every day for 6 months. And the best part about it is you don't have to eat it all at one time. Now, avocados are very bland. Yeah, they are very bland. But I promise you, if you shake a little seasoning Yeah. For those of you who like your herbs and spices, if you shake a little seasoning, it becomes quite tasty. I make a mean guacamole, and it's real simple. You know, there are many different ways you can make guacamole. Yeah, really. I see a lot of different ways people doll up avocados to make guacamole, but I promise you, it is so simple. And, you know, I had a lot of people say, I don't like avocado, I don't like guacamole. And all I did was I just added a little garlic and a little, like, some type of mixed seasoning. And I added some sour cream. And, man, those chips were gone. And so was a bowl of guacamole. So you don't want to kill all of the, you know, effects of the avocado. So, you know, I put avocado on my hamburgers. Do you? Yeah, on my hamburgers. It is so good on a burger. A well-seasoned burger and add a little, you know, ketchup and all that good stuff. Man, you cannot go wrong. Just slice it. It is a mean additive to your hamburger. So put it in your salad. For those of you who like salad, put it in your salad. It's really good. It's just a really good food. And, you know, I love to read that these foods provide so much health, you know, to our bodies naturally. And, you know, I have to tell you something. A couple of weeks ago, all of a sudden, I just couldn't see. Yeah. Everything was cloudy. Everything was blurry. It was like a film over my eyes. And I was saying to my daughter, oh, my gosh, I must have glaucoma. My eyes, I can't see. I mean, I could not see with my glasses or without my glasses. I couldn't see. And, you know, the prayer is an amazing thing. We were in the middle of prayer, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord said, medicine. I'm telling you, this is a true story, as they say, real story, true story. I couldn't see all of a sudden. I mean, when I tell you, from one day to the next, I just couldn't see, and I was like, oh, my gosh, and I was praying to God. I said, Lord, you can't take my eyes. Nah, I'm already not functioning well. But you can't take my eyes. How am I going to read? How am I going to preach? I can't preach. And listen, my brain is not that great to be hearing. And then, you know, and I got to see. I can't be relying on other people to read for me. Oh, my goodness. It was a terrible feeling. And, man, right in the middle of the prayer, the Lord said medicine. Now, I wasn't even praying about my eyes. I hadn't even gotten to my eyes yet. And that's what I heard, medicine. And I just squeezed Shanti's hand because instantaneously I knew what that meant. That's what I said, man, having a connection with God is amazing. That's all the Spirit of the Lord said, medicine. And as soon as we finished, I ran to, you know, when you get your medicine, your prescriptions filled, they give you those printouts. I had begun to take a brand new medicine. I'd been to the doctor, had my checkup, and she prescribed the medicine for me. And the first medicine that she had prescribed for me, when I read the side effects, because I didn't remember her writing the prescription, so I just saw this bottle of medicine in my old medicine bag the last time I saw her. And I started reading the side effects. I'm like, I'm not taking this. Oh, no. So when I saw her a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned it. And I was like, okay, that medicine there, I don't know. No, I didn't take it. So I can't tell you what happened. I said, because when I read what it does, oh, you can forget it. I'm not. So she, you know, she left us. Okay, I'll give you something milder. That's something milder. Oh, it did its job. But at the same time, it was taking my eyesight. And when I read the prescription printout, and I went to the internet and read side effects. Oh my goodness! One of the side effects was it's some condition that it's like glaucoma condition, and in some people, you never get your eyesight back. And I have been taking it for 3 days. That's all it took. 3 days. 3 days I could not see. 3 days. And even the things that they were describing that would happen, I had it happen, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Well, I have to say, in about 2.5 days, my eyesight was back because I had already stopped taking it. That was the funny part because it had been doing some other stuff to me that I didn't like. Like when I was on the broadcast with you all, I couldn't concentrate. I was reading the stories, but something was off, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what's happening? And when I started putting it all together, I was like, it got to be this medicine that I'm taking. But I didn't realize it was some other stuff. And within, like, 2.5 days, I could see back to normal. And this is why I'm telling you this, because when we read that something natural that God made helps your eyesight, something that God made improves your brain function, we've got to go back to just simply eating. And, you know, a lot of the things that we're experiencing, if we eat properly, you know, we can't go wrong. Now, the thing about it is you got to catch it. You got to catch it. You can't, you know, in other words, you can't drive yourself to high blood pressure and then think eating healthy is going to make it right. Unfortunately, you're going to have to go on some meds for a little bit, improve your eating, and you can be weaned off. Yes, it's happened to me. A lot of other people I know, they're like, I'm not staying on these meds. And they just changed their eating pattern, and it started helping them to feel better. And they no longer had to take the med. So these health tips that we're getting, they're amazing. And we got to give God thanks for his natural food. As long as we're eating the way we're supposed to eat, we will not go wrong. So let's see if these other people have eaten right or wrong and see what's happened with their brains. All right. Let's go back. We got an update. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the health, somewhere around a health tip. We talked about a little boy who had gone to like a fair or something like that. Oh, no, he was at the school. He was at school, and he had eaten some strawberries. I know you got to remember that story because everybody was talking about, oh, my goodness, I'm not eating strawberries. Well, come to find out, he didn't mysteriously die from eating the strawberries at the fundraiser at the school. No. Well, I guess simultaneously, they were doing, you know, some lab work on these strawberries. They found that the strawberries did not contain anything that could hurt you. But when they did the autopsy on the little boy, they found that there was fentanyl in his system. Wow. Yeah, they say that when he went to sleep and woke up, when he went to sleep, when they went to get him up for school, he wasn't breathing and he passed away. Not too much longer. Well, they say that the stepfather has been charged with having fentanyl in, you know, around this boy, and somehow or another, he got a hold to it. And that's what ultimately happened to him. So, you know, you don't have to be warned off of strawberries any longer. But, you know, I don't know how these people are keeping all of this stuff around these kids. Let's see what else is going on. Talking about the kids, there's a story here that a little boy and his younger siblings were left in the home by themselves by their 25-year-old Massachusetts mom. And he, too, is only 8 years old. Mom left him in charge of his two younger siblings so she could go out drinking and partying. And she told her son she was coming back home, but to monitor his little brothers and to monitor the youngest, who was 3 years old, who had been sick. Yes, he had been sick for a couple of days before she even left him. Now, he suffered from a seizure disorder, hemophilia, and had been vomiting blood days before. So she'd been monitoring the three-year-old, her three-year-old son. Well, oh, brother, while she was out, the eight-year-old was texting her and even took a video of the little three-year-old because he got scared. Mom decided to spend the night with her boyfriend, all while this little boy texted her all night long. Well, by the time she got home, 10 o'clock the next morning, her three-year-old was dead. Yeah. There is just such a breakdown of mothering and momhood, mommying, however you want to say this thing here. To know that you left your three children, 8, 7, and 3 years old. The eight-year-old is the one who's responsible for babysitting and monitoring your sick three-year-old who you had been monitoring, who had been sick, and to hear that he even got that scared that he sent her a video and she decided to spend the night out at her boyfriend's house instead of going home. And they had her in jail. She's gone for her arraignment, and she's being held on $100,000 despite the fact that her lawyer was asking for a very low bail. Why? Because she couldn't afford it. Well, guess what? You couldn't afford to go party either. I can't even imagine being a lawyer and asking. I wouldn't even take your case. I'm sorry. That would just be something. You know, once I heard you say, sorry, ma'am, I can't take your case. Find another attorney. Yeah. Because what could you possibly say? What could I stand in front of a judge and say when this is the story? Not that I was drinking and it just took a different effect on me, or, you know, I wasn't feeling too well and, you know, I fell asleep and I took some medicine because I wasn't well and, you know, I overslept or, you know, put me to sleep a little harder than I thought. And you don't have any justified thing to take before this judge. I would not be your mouthpiece for your nonsense. You got to be kidding me. Nah, you blew that one, sister. You blew that one. What else do we talk about this morning? Now, for those of you who have road rage, it gets real. We've heard of the road rage where one person shot into one car and then he shot back and both of them had children in the car. And, well, another casualty of our craziness. So you have this California young man, 27 years old, who was driving, who was in a car, not even the driver, who was in the car of a guy who cut a woman off while they were driving. And when they cut her off, they say she flipped him the bird, the driver, flipped the driver the bird. Well, the one who was the passenger decided he was going to shoot in the car. He shot into the car, killing the woman's 6-year-old son. And what are you going to do now? You were the passenger in the car. You weren't even the driver who could have gotten offended. Well, I tell you, they said they were on a manhunt for this driver, and they found him. They found him. So not only is this young man being, he's been sentenced, actually. He's been sentenced to 40 years. So 40 years for someone else's road rage. You weren't even driving. You were the passenger in the car. So for that, you now spend 40 years of your life. And the driver is actually being charged with accessory after the fact, and a misdemeanor count of having a concealed firearm in a vehicle. Well, he needs to get 40 years too, because you were the one. You were not unaware that he was going to shoot and fire that gun. He didn't just pull out the gun and, you know, you just not know. Had to be some quick discussion on this. So you know what? You need to get the same 40 years. You were driving the car. So you know what? That accessory after the fact, yeah, that should be equal to 40 years in the jail right beside your friend. So y'all can deal with the people on the inside. So for those of you who have road rage, it gets real out here. And you're going to have to really calm down. Because even, look what happened. Can you imagine what she's thinking now? So all I did was flip him the bird, and it cost her son his life. Opposed to just driving off. People, listen, people very rarely surprise you these days when they're driving. If you've been driving for any length of time, you'd have seen a whole lot of stupid stuff people do, a whole lot of reckless stuff people do on the highway. Let's get one more quick story in here. Let's see what else we can talk about. Oh, we got to talk about this one, y'all. Oh, we got to talk about this one here. 50 years. Some man has been sentenced to 50 years. And guess why? Oh, my gosh. Back in 2020, this Curtis Jack. I got to tell you the story before I tell you what he did. Oh, I got to tell you what happened before I tell you what he did. So, they say after delivering the breast milk, so his girlfriend had a baby. She, for some reason, you know, this breast milk had to be delivered to the grandmother who was caring for the woman's other daughter as well. The baby became ill after drinking this breast milk. He admitted to adding antifreeze to the baby's breast milk. Why? So he wouldn't have to pay child support. Oh my God. This here. If we don't, we need to have a pray for them every day. Automotive antifreeze. They say even in small amounts, if automotive antifreeze is ingested, it is extremely toxic and can kill you, even in small amounts. What kind of world are we living in, y'all, where you have sex, she gets pregnant, and in order not to pay child support, you put antifreeze in the baby's breast milk? How could you hate to this magnitude? Oh, where is my due time crew? Oh, where's my girl, Tamika? Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm mad.
Girl, and I'm mad with you. We got to start from the beginning. We got to start from the beginning.
Okay.
We got to build it up and become even madder. Oh my goodness gracious! So we first start off. This chat room is blowing up. I don't even know what they're saying to me. If I could tell you the chiming that's going on in my ear. Okay. So we start off with the 25-year-old mama who needs to go out and have a party, you know, partying and drinking, leaves the 8, 7, and 3-year-old in the house. The 3-year-old is already ill, who already suffers with a seizure condition, but she leaves them in the house anyway because she got to go out, and the 8-year-old is texting her all night, telling her that he's worried, come home, blah, blah, blah. Even sent mom a video of the baby because he got so worried about the way he was looking. She decides to spend the night at the boyfriend's house anyhow. And when she comes home at 10 o'clock the next morning, the 3-year-old is no longer breathing. He's dead. Okay, so why are you mad?
Now, I've often said it, Mika loves the kids. Mika loves the kids. And anytime it has something to do with a child, you get my dandruff up big time. You know, and I keep seeing that parents, you know, not all parents, but the ones that we are hearing don't really care about themselves. They don't care about their children. It's me first now. You know, you done this not once, not twice, but 3 times. So that tells me you got 3 separate occasions and you have children. This is not the first time that she's done that. However, yep. The thing that gets me is you have gotten calls, videos. This child is videotaping you, telling you, listen, you need to come home. And so your need, your desire to get your groove on was so important that you disregarded. Did you not look at your text messages? And then my thing is, if it's adamant like that, as a parent, something in you should stop and say, wait, I'm getting a text message. Wait, you called. Wait, I got a video. Nothing. So your desire for whatever it is that you needed at that time paramounted the safety of your child. I just can't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yep, that's exactly what it boils down to. You getting your needs serviced prevented the child from getting his needs serviced. Oh yeah, that's exactly how it went down. All right, let's go on to the next one. We got the woman who flips the man the bird when he cuts her off, only for it to cost her baby his life, because the other 2 idiots in the car the passenger shoots into the car, killing the baby, and the one who's driving took off. Like ain't nothing happened. So here we go again. This impulsivity of your behavior. What you say now?
As a new driver, when I'm out there, the stuff that can be seen, whether I'm the person that happens to, or the car in front of me, or the side of me, you know people are unstable. You know it. You know, we've been living this life for a minute, and it seems like since the pandemic, people are just crazy, like above the board crazy. You knew that something was wrong with him when he cuts you off. And I understand that you get upset and that type of thing. We're in a day and time where you have to diffuse your anger because we really don't know what people will do. You know, we've been out in certain places, and all you said was, excuse me, could you step to the side or something like that? And now this person is going off. We've seen instances where, you know, someone gets stabbed in the back. All I said was, excuse me. You turn around, and the next thing you know, you're in a hospital. You can't. We're at a day and time where you can't just do what you want to do. And sticking your middle finger up caused this person to literally shoot in your car, and now you're down one child. I don't know if she has another child, but you lost your child. Anger.
Yeah.
Her anger caused his anger.
Right.
And, you know, even the Bible cautions us about anger. There's a reason why the Word of God itself cautions us by anger, because you don't know the outcome of just that one little thing. I only be able to stick up my finger. Well, obviously,
yep.
It fueled that much anger that he said, okay, you put your finger up, and I'm shooting at your car. Now, he may or may not have seen the child. We don't know. However, this is now the end result from just this little one display of anger.
Yep.
Can't do it.
That's what I said. Yep, that's what I said. She probably was saying, all I did was put my middle finger up. You know, it didn't cause him to shoot. You don't know what these people are thinking. You know, Shantice reminded me of a movie called Unhinged. And was it a Prime movie? But he was crazy. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, you know, you just leave these people alone. They cut you off, just keep going about your business. All right, and now, here we go. The father who's going to spend, why he didn't get, he got 50 years to life. He was sentenced to 50 years of life. I don't know why you just didn't get life. But this is what he got, 50 years of life.
Exactly.
For poisoning the breast milk with antifreeze. What say you? What kind of time should he have gotten?
Straight life. There's no thinking about it, you know. Just straight life, you know, because there's not a, oh, well, you know, well, I didn't think that it would kill. We've seen, I think, I'm trying to remember. It was, I think a student put, sanitizer in a teacher's drink. You know,
oh,
and it
yes.
was just a
yes.
little bit.
Yep.
And, you know, we know the effects of antifreeze. You know, just a little bit. If sanitizer can almost kill you, imagine, you know, my thing is, what in the world could the child have been going through? You know, and
yes.
this is to avoid child support payments. Come on. You know, you one night in bed, this is his. We often talk about, you know, the things you say yes to. When you decided that you were going to sleep with this woman, it's only one time that it takes for surprise, you know. And so now you got to own up to your responsibilities. And now after that, did you not think that you were going to be found out? The repercussions of your actions. Did you have no idea? Did you obviously didn't think this through. You couldn't have watched any of the CSI, the FBI, all of those files tell you you're going to be found out. And so, you know, as 50 to life, no, life. And then if you happen to be alive after life again.
Right? Yeah, this is crazy. This is definitely crazy. Oh, thank you so much for joining us. Let's hear from your friend, my friend, Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. We talking about the parents this morning. Ooh, baby. So you got the first mom who ignored her desperate texting 8-year-old son to come home and take care of her youngest child. She'd rather party and spend the night out, and she no longer has a 3-year-old.
Yeah, but first of all, I'm trying to figure out who said that this 8-year-old was qualified to watch anybody.
Right.
I mean, you can't even watch yourself at 8 years old.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm trying to think of me 8 years old. You know, I was annoying, obnoxious, and you give me this kind of responsibility. The last thing I want to do is watch somebody else. You know, not only that, even in his infantry, he was still smart enough to say, hey, there's something wrong here.
Right.
You know, mama, you need to come home. You know, but mama never played the mother role. You know, saying Stella was still trying to get her groove back. You know, and that was all that was important. So at that point, yeah, she should go away for a long time.
Mm-mm. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, the mama who flips the bird, or the driver, the bird, when he cuts her off, they fire into the car. Yeah, I'm saying they fire into the car, kills her 6-year-old son. Oh, goodness gracious.
Yes, that is unfortunate. Now, I will tell you, you know, because we often tell on ourselves on this show. When I first started this church thing, you know, I was an angry church member. Let's put it that way. And yeah, I was an adjutant. Some people call them an adjutant. Some people call them the armor bearer. So to the pastor. So I called myself, because I was an angry church member, I was the bodyguard. So we drove one day, and someone cut him off, and the person who cut him off had a lot to say. So as they cut it off, we end up at the light. So I got out the car, because I'm the bodyguard.
Wow.
Went to his car and wanted to grab him and beat him. But before I was able to grab him, he pulled off. Now, I thank God, because I don't know what could have happened to me trying to be the hero.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, and when you said that I think that the person who was driving should get it as well, I don't kind of agree with that. Another story, I was a property manager, and I gave a guy a ride home. Now, I flew through a stop sign, didn't realize it was a stop sign, I didn't do it purposely, so he pulled me over, the police pulled me over. The passenger is telling me, hey, just go ahead, man, run it, you can beat him. I don't know why this fool is saying that, but I'm saying it's only a stop sign. So surely, I'll just get a ticket or a warning. Come to find out, the person that was on the right side of me had a warrant. So they picked him up and took him to jail. Now, should I have went to jail because he had a warrant? No. So the person that didn't shoot him, and unless he says, go ahead and shoot, you know what I mean? I don't think they should have went to jail, too, for somebody else's stupidity. I was already stupid for cutting you off.
When he shot into the car, you kept driving. That's why I said. That's why I said, not because he knew that he was going to shoot necessarily, but because when he shot into the car, you're not standing in no car with me if all of a sudden you're absolutely right. Maybe there was a possibility he didn't know. But I tell you one thing, you fire a gun in my car, we pulling over. we not going no further.
Right.
That's why I said, yes, they are charging him with accessory after the fact. Look at the charge. He didn't say there was a dual shooting. They said, no, you knew when he shot, he should not have shot that gun, fired that gun. Yep, take him to jail, give him the 40 years. That's not the same instance you're giving. No, I'm sorry.
Right.
You're accessory. Okay. You're accessory. You going to jail. Sorry. Well, yes, I do thank God that you did not have an opportunity to grab this person. Because like you said, we don't know what could have happened. You didn't know whether they were carrying, the person in the car was carrying. You don't know anything.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Oh, my good Lord, I tell you. This is a scary world we live in. All righty. But the best one of them all. 50 years for the dad who gave the baby antifreeze in her bottle because he did not want to pay child support.
Now, let me expound on this one. I am a man of quite a few children. I know child support very well. They knew my name. In fact, not only did they know my name, when I went to court, they already had my Social Security number. They knew about it. So I do understand, you know, the pain of child support. I mean, it hurts you really bad. You know, after you work 40 hours and you can only buy a Twinkie, that's a problem right there. You know what I mean? So I do understand. See, I'm passionate about this because I've been there. You know, it's almost like I did life at one time. I was doing life. I was like, when is this little people going to turn 18? And then I was telling them, because you know you got to pay until you're 21, and if they go to college, I said, listen, education is overrated. You really don't need to go to college. Get a trade or something. You know what I mean? But at no point have I ever thought about killing a child because I had to pay child support. That's crazy.
Yeah. 18 days old. She was 18 days old. Thank God, and I wanted to save this for last. Thank God the baby is okay. Thank God the baby actually is okay. 18 days old. Man.
Oh, wow.
I tell you, this is evil at its finest. Evil at its finest. Oh, my goodness gracious. Whew. Well, thank you so much for indulging me on our news. So, you know, we have our relationship conversations. And I'll give each of you an opportunity to comment. They have an article where they say the pettiest and messiest ways of getting revenge on your ex. The pettiest and messiest ways of getting revenge on your ex. So before we ask you for any, testimonies, we'll go to some of the stuff that these people have said that they have done. Tamika, he said, I crapped in her favorite designer purse after she cheated on me. Do you have a designer purse?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I have a Coach bag. Here's the thing. That Coach bag was given to me by my mother. So it's not just a Coach bag. It, you know, my mother's no longer living, and you
right.
got the bag that my... I got to pray.
Wow.
I got to pray for you longer. Oh, my gosh. You talking about I don't even know what to say on that one. that is disgusting. You know, and then my thing is, what you gonna do with the bag afterwards? Like, you gonna clean it out and use it again?
Yeah.
The imagery of the thought of, even if I took it to whomever to get it clean, every time I look at that bag, I'm gonna get mad all over again. Yeah, that is serious. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a deep one. Pastor KL, in her bag, do you find that she cheated on you? Have you ever been that mad to crap into her purse?
No. I, listen, the toilet ain't even comfortable. I definitely don't want to be stupid over. No, no, I'm not doing all that stuff. No, I just don't have that good aim ratio. You understand what I'm saying? So I might even have to clean something up.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. My ex had an affair, and she moved in with him pretty much straight away. I went around to pick up my kids, used the toilet, saw their toothbrushes, and left a little pee on them. Tamika!
Why? What is wrong with these people and their excrements and oh my gosh. So that means that they're brushing their teeth with your urine or whatever, because we didn't say what gift. We didn't say which one, you know, and so, that's extreme. That's just disgusting. I can't even think of what could be done. Just the revenge, you know, and this is what causes people. And you know that this person is unstable, you know, but now you really see it.
Mm-mm. Oh, boy. Pastor KL, have you ever been that mad at her?
See, the other thing you got to look at is you still have my children. So while we doing this to you, now you kissing my children goodnight. You know, we don't look past this right here, you know what I'm saying, the first option. No, I'm never going to be that mad, not when, you know, my children are still in your custody and still in your safety reign. I'm never going to be that mad.
Mm-hmm. All righty. And, you know, this is why I'm going to tell you, I'm very funny about, you know, thank God I have 3 bathrooms in my home, because it's just something about having my personal stuff just out in the open when people come to your house. And everybody ain't got their baubles together. I just don't know. You know, somebody might say, well, come into your house. She thought it was fine for him to pick up the kids and use the bathroom. You know, maybe she felt, you know, well, you know, he ain't all that mad. Well, he was that mad. Alrighty, I emptied a whole litter tray full of stinking, dirty cat litter all over the inside of this cheating blankety blank's car. It was everywhere. I can only imagine how hard that was to clean up. So this is actually a woman doing this. Tamika.
I've never been that mad, for one, and 9 times out of 10, this is antics that she's done before, you know, and that's probably why they're no longer together. She's done some other stuff, you know, and I guess, you know, to culminate the culmination of the ending of the relationship, she poos your car, you know, and so now I guess, you know, that she feels like she's vindicated, you know, but now you got to clean that out. And just the imagery, you know, I think I'm pretty sure that this person, or at least I pray that this person is wise enough when they get into another relationship that they look for signs. Red flags are everywhere.
Mm-mm. Brother Al, we're talking about revenge, that people have gotten the messiest and nastiest and dirtiest revenge moves that they have done. And I'm coming to you in a second. But Pastor KL, she dumped a whole pan of used cat litter from the cat litter box into his car. Oh, boy.
Well, this is why I don't do cats, first of all, because it gives you too much ammunition. So cats can't come to mind. You know, that's the first thing. Second of all, she's beyond crazy. That's probably the reason why you left her. You know, she, but you should have saw the signs in the dating. You know, she is anybody that can conjure up that idea of just putting cat litter in my car. Yeah, that's another kind of mindset.
All righty. Where's Brother Al? Let's say good morning to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop of the morning. Chop, chop. Of the morning, how you doing? Good to hear your voice.
Oh, yeah.
Same here. Same here, Brother Al. Oh, okay. So she's so mad at him. She takes, you know, he's the ex. And somehow she still got keys to his car. She takes a whole cat litter tray and dumps it in his car.
Wow. Well, there's a couple of things with that. It depends on the cat litter that she used, because she used the Arm and Hammer. We all good. The Arm and Hammer clumps her song.
But, my goodness.
No, no. She...
Oh, my goodness.
Look, you know, I had a cat, and I used the Arm and Hammer. The Arm and Hammer's good, but if she used any one of them cheap ones, he's in trouble. But I would say, no, she cranked his heck. Like, okay, you that mad, and most women, it's so funny, because that's when they go for the car. They figure, you know, that car is a pride and joy. I'm going to tear that up. So she goes, and how she can keep this car, you fool? Why did you give her keys? You know, I don't understand why you even gave her keys. But anyway, she was able to get in the car and pour that litter, and he going to catch the boy trying to get that litter out of that carpet, because there's all cars got carpet, because no type of match he got, so he got some serious cleaning to do, or he could take it to get detailed with those parking lots, $200-$300. So he got a lot he could be going through. And did I mention that she is crazy? Crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We got another one. I ordered some kind of fish. I've never even heard of this fish before. But I ordered this fish and stuffed it in her curtain hangers after she cheated on me, then poured the remaining juices in her washing machine and left. Tamika, what, girl, I couldn't, my imagination, I thought my imagination, I have none. It ain't nowhere in the world I would have thought of this one. This in your clothes.
Believe it or not, I've heard this before.
Really?
It was somebody else. A jilted ex left the relationship, picked up everything, and left shrimp tails in the bottom part of the curtain. And her ex-boyfriend was so agitated about it, he complained to the landlord and complained, and moved with the new girlfriend that he cheated on her with. They moved to another place, took down the curtains, moved to another place with the curtain.
What?
Smell, you know? So, yeah, you know, because what's the last thing you think about it? Your home, your curtains. That's the last thing that,
goodness.
You know, a lot of, especially for people who don't wash their curtains after a period of time, you know, seasonal, you just keep those curtains up there. Guess what happens? You're walking past it. All that. What is that smell? Where? Oh, my God. And it drives you crazy. And so to think, you know, that all of that, and you pack up your bag and you fold and everything, put everything away because you can't take it. You move to another place, and the same thing is happening because you got those same curtains up there. Now you're talking about in my washing machine. So every item that I wash is going to smell like that.
Right.
And you can't find the resolve to it, you know, because 9 times out of 10, as a homeowner, especially someone who has a washing machine, I'm not going to the laundromat to wash. You pity the thought. You know, oh, go to the laundromat. You know, it's a mindset. When you have a washing machine in your home, the last thing in the world you think about is going to the laundromat to wash your clothes. And so it may take her a very long time to try and figure out, you know, why my clothes smell like this. You know, going through all types of detergent. Is it detergent?
Right.
Is it the fabric softener? Is it the Clorox? You know, and of course the last thing in her mind is going to, you know, is going to pinpoint him because. He would do that. You know, we have to get to a point where it's like, you know, don't underestimate even the smallest thing. Especially if there was a little bit, you know, a little sour in that relationship. Be cautious about letting them back in, giving them access to your car, giving them access to your home, giving them access to anything.
Wow. Boy, that thing with the curtains. Woo, baby. Wow. Woo. All right. Pastor KL, what we got going on here? Fish in her clothes, fish juice in her washing machine.
Yeah, I couldn't even fathom this. I mean, and I think if I turned it around and looked at me as a woman, I'd be going to the gynecologist. Because if it's in my
you
clothes, I'm like, is it me?
Wow.
Listen, if everywhere you go, you smelled it, after a while, you would think, is it me? Am I doing this? You know, there would be oh, my God. That's all I can say is, oh, my God. I couldn't live like that. You leave from one house and the smell goes with you? Yeah, I would start questioning me.
Wow. Brother Al, fish everywhere.
Wow, that's crazy. But it is giving me some ideas just in case Tamika want to act up a little something. I keep some fish in the refrigerator. I just want to, you know, I never thought of that. And look, Pastor, I can't put it in the washing machine because we both use the same washing machine, so I can't do that.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know, it's crazy that, you know, that people get so angry and they come up with those ideas. And I can relate to it because in my former life, I used to be very revengeful. If you did something to me, I had to get you back. And because I wanted you to feel the same pain that you gave to me. But it's not worth it. You know, as God worked on me with that, you know, I left that revenge alone. Because that revenge, man, you could do some things, man, and you're not really realizing because you're so angry that you didn't do something to hurt somebody. Then it's like, oh, shoot, was it worth it? So that revenge is something else, man. But that's crazy.
Wow. Well, let's talk about some other revenge stories why you it's give God thanks that it ain't you no more. I left my dog pee on the clothes he left at my house, Brother Al.
You might well keep them clothes. New clothes, good as gone. But, again, that's just that anger, man. It's not just revenge. It's also anger, like, okay, you left these clothes here, I'll fix you. Now, she ain't thinking about what if he just said, okay, forget it, he's not coming back to get them. Now you start with them clothes with dog pee on it. And animal pee is strong. So.
Yep.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Pastor KL let the dog pee on all the clothes he left at my house.
Well, first of all, who you had, Lassie? I mean, was the dog trained? Did you train the dog just to pee on these clothes? How does the dog pee on just a certain amount of stuff? You know, I've had dogs a long time, and you can't say, hey, go pee here. You know what I mean? That's not something they kind of look for. So I'm trying to figure out what kind of professional dog you had that peed on those clothes. But, yeah, I mean, you did it. That was, I don't want those clothes. But now the clothes are in your house. So you got to wait for them to come back and get them?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. All right. They say this was petty, but I told her that her favorite designer purse I had bought her was a fake. It wasn't. But I heard she gave it away quickly. Some random person out there has a really nice, genuine Saint Laurent bag, which makes me happy. Brother Al, is this revenge for her? Is this a good one?
No, he's an idiot. You just bought her. You spent a whole bunch of money to give it to let somebody else use it. I prefer you take it back than to give it to somebody else. But what did you gain?
How you going to take it back?
That was crazy.
Huh? How you going
to
take it back?
I would prefer to take it back. Oh, no. I don't know.
He knew he couldn't get the bag back.
But so he knew he couldn't get the bag back, and he lied and said it was fake so she can give it away. I guess so, but that's just crazy. I give you something, we break up. Hey, it's yours. I'm going on my way. That anger, again, that anger.
Yes, sir. Pastor KL.
Yeah, I'm with Brother Al. I'd have tried to take it back. Everything I bought you. I mean, if you're going to be petty. Everything I bought you, I want back. I'm leaving. I mean, that's petty. You know, all this other stuff that we hear, to me, is crazy. But if we're going to be petty, let's be petty. You know, those fish sticks you ate yesterday, I don't know what we're going to do, but I want the rest of them that's in the freezer. You know what I mean? You're not going to eat the whole box of fish sticks. We ain't together no more.
Well, let me ask you something, and this is you gentlemen. This has always been a question for me. Why? When you are ready to leave, you got to take the CDs. You got to take, you know, the old sneakers. You got to take the socks. You got to take, you know, the picture out the picture frame. Why? Because it seems like men, they do that a lot more than women do. I'll start with you, Brother Al. Why?
Again, I just think that you're so angry and you're just sitting there saying, you know what, you don't deserve what I gave you. So give it back to me. I want everything back. The socks with the initials on it, I don't care. Again, I know my initials don't start. I know my initials don't start with a T, but I want it back. You know, it's hard to say that, but you're right, guys. Mostly guys do that. Like, I want all that back. Like, you're not gonna go in the next relationship chilling with all this stuff I gave you. I want it back. Let him buy it for you. Let him buy it for you. I know. Oh, I bought that comforter. That comforter was for us. So you know what? Let him get you a comforter, and y'all cut him up on that comforter.
Oh my gosh, Pastor KL, why are men so petty?
Well, Brother Al hit it on the head. So, I buy you a 62-inch or a 65-inch TV. You know, I buy you a washing machine. I buy you all this stuff that we were using. Now the next man is coming, and he's going to benefit off the stuff that I bought. So he don't have to bring that to the table because I done filled the table. Now I want my table. I want the tablecloth. You know, I want the plates on the table. You know, I just want it all. You know, so if he's so much better than me, let him bring his own table.
Gosh.
I want my table and all the chairs now. You know what? No, I'll leave you one chair because you can sit down.
Yeah, I've heard men. I mean, when I hear some of the stuff that men have done, I'm like, yo, really? Y'all getting that petty? Yeah, it's like I said, CDs. Nobody even use CDs anymore, but he taking that. And went through the CDs. I bought this one. I bought the Jodeci one. I bought, you know, this jazz CD. This one here. You know, you don't like Miles Davis. That I introduced you to Miles Davis.
I was just about to say that. You didn't even know who Miles Davis was. You thought Miles Davis was a basketball player. You thought he played ball. Gave my CD back.
Oh my goodness gracious! I mean, literally stood there and went through every single CD to take the ones that he bought, even the gospel CDs that she knew he wasn't gonna listen to, but he bought them. You know, bought it when they were together because he thought she'd like it. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Ooh, all right. Well,
hey, look, don't forget, I want the DVDs back, too. That Scarface, DVD, I want it back.
Oh, my God. And yeah, and I'm sure he did go through DVDs if he went through CDs. I mean, people don't even have CD players anymore. And it's like, yo, what you want with this? Goodness gracious. All righty. I threw away every one of his left shoes. Just the left shoe. I poured a pound of sugar into his toaster. I put dog crap under the passenger side handle of his truck. So when he opened the door for the girl he was cheating with, he got a handful of poop. And I'd do it all again, too. That sounds like a Shanti's move. Yo, Brother Al.
I'm trying to stop.
All the left shoes.
I'm trying to stop laughing. Oh, my God. You really ruffled her family. Where you know, for her to even be nasty to pick up dog poop, to even pick it up. Just to pick it up to bring it in there to put it in your car. Woo, you got a crazy one on that one. Jeez, I'll fix you. She put it in your car. She just threw away all the left foot of your shoes.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, I've never heard hilarious. That. That was okay. Yeah, she done gone crazy now. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well, you got layers, Brother Al, of things. Yeah, you didn't really made up, man.
Yeah, you did her dirty. Well, I had to do all that. Yeah, I don't even want both cheese. I just want the left foot.
Yeah, goodness.
I just want the left foot.
Yeah. Where's Tamika? She's here. Tamika, she said, I threw away every one of his left shoes, just the left. I poured a pound of sugar into his toaster. I put dog crap under the passenger side handle of his truck so that when he opened the door for the girl he was cheating with, he got a handful of poop. I'd do it all again, too.
Yeah, that's a really demented mind. It took me a minute to stop laughing myself.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and maybe she took the left shoe because he left her. Or, you know, you get that song, to the left, there's no left, because she took all
wow.
the left, you know.
So,
just
wow.
all of the ideal, you know. And so that is far beyond, yeah. That tops even just, you know, crapping in my bag. That's a whole lot, you know.
Oh,
you
yeah.
extra. You went
yeah.
beyond the extra mile.
Yep, yep, yep. That's layers of anger, layers of anger. Oh, my goodness gracious. Pastor KL, now you a shoe man, and she threw away all of your, everyone. She said, I threw away every one of his left shoes.
Yeah, well, a couple of things I look at from here. One, after this happened, I'm so glad she's gone. But I'd still be scared. And the reason why I'd still be scared is because at the end of all of this testimony, she said, and I'll do it again. So she don't
yeah.
even feel remorse about it. You know
no.
what I mean? She don't feel bad about it. Or
no.
the craziest part about it, she's not even over it.
No, no,
it's
no.
not like it's done and
yeah.
I'm over it.
Right.
She said, I'll
right.
do it again. No,
right.
I'd be scared. I'd be scared more than mad. Because she ain't playing with a full deck. She ain't
yep.
ready that tight.
Yep. That means that's the way she just started. And I agree with you
right.
because that's what that said to me. That's it. You know, a lot of times when you do something like these other people, you know, they did what they did, and then it's like, ah, got you. And then you have the other one, you know, this one here, it's like I've only just begun. That's the way it sounds, and that's the scary part. Okay, I got this last one for you. She was behind me in a line at a bakery. Her kid wanted cupcakes, and there were only 5 left. I bought them all and left. Tamika.
Oh, you're so petty. You know, but, like, seriously? Ah, it ain't even for me. It's for the child. And now you so, you know, jilted that you're going to buy the little cup. All right. Fine, I'll go to another grocery, another bakery, and get, you know, child. I mean, and I hope that she doesn't have one of them children. You know, you tell the child no, and they get to whining and having a temper tantrum out in the store, and then there's nothing that you could do. You know, you can't wring the neck of the child, and you're just so angry with this individual. And that's one of those things where, you know, you're literally not done with the emotion, you know, but you're petty. You know, you're pretty much harmless. So I just move on and go to another, hopefully another bakery that has that.
Wow. All righty. Brother Al, you bought all the 5 cupcakes and left.
Yeah, that wasn't cool. That wasn't cool at all. It should have knocked him out of his head and knocked him all over the floor. Now nobody gets it.
Oh, my goodness.
But that was seriously petty. And it was for the kids, right? Why are you taking it out on the kids? You mad, you mad. But don't take it out on the kids, man. We're not a kid. That was a kid, though, yeah. Definitely.
That's right.
All righty, Pastor KL, what say you? Took all of
I don't think it was.
Go ahead.
I don't think it was petty enough. I don't think it was petty enough. I think if you want to be petty, I used to be the master of cake. You buy the cupcake. at the store, you take a bite out of each one and throw them away. At the store.
Oh.
That's petty.
Wow.
Yeah, that's petty. That's petty.
Wow. Wow. Right at, with the, wow. Okay. Yeah, you twisted. You twisted. You twisted. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I do have one more because I just happened to glance down. And actually, I have quite a few more. We may have to come back to this one. I sent Jehovah's Witnesses to her door and signed, I mean, to his door and signed him up for Scientology literature. Tamika, was that punishment?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'm sorry, I'm still trying to stop laughing. Yeah, that's funny. Like, why would you do that? You know,
wow.
It's kind of, that's real petty, you know, because you think about it. And I had an incident like that one time. I was talking to a lady. You know, I just happened to be standing out in front of my house, and we were just having a conversation. And I guess she just thought I was really, you know, enthused in what she was saying as a Jehovah's Witness. I was just engaging in conversation. That following week, she came back. The week after that, she came back. The week after that, she came back. And I'm just like, you know, they're good at witnessing, but they're also good at annoying the mess out of you. So, you know, she knew what she was doing, you know, and that, here we go again, you know, petty, you know, that type of thing, you know, you just keep going, you know, and she's probably going to do something else petty. You know, that's one of many. You know, you signed him up for two things, you know, the Jehovah's Witness and Scientology. So he's going to get all kinds of mail, all kinds of literature. And if she has access to his email, she may even sign him up on email. So, you know, once you get one of those advertisements, they just don't stop.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses. Brother Al, she sent the Jehovah's Witnesses to his house and signed him up for Scientology literature. Is that revenge or what?
Oh, God. They're cracking up. They knock on the door. Hey, what happened? Well, we got a letter from you saying that you wanted us to stop by.
Wow.
Man, yeah. Man, they come up. But that's why I say, boy, you get angry and you come up with some of the craziest things to do. You know what I'm saying? Not only you got a him, but you're wasting a Jehovah's Witness too. You're wasting their time. You know? They
you're
come
right.
And like, okay, good, we got somebody. And then they
right.
come to the door and liable to get cuffed out because of your nonsense. So you're not just hurting him or think that you're hurting them. You're hurting other people involved. But when you get angry at one of these men, you see none of that.
Oh, honey. Pastor KL. Is that revenge or not?
That has been the worst revenge topic you had all day. First of all, Jehovah's Witnesses don't have no timetable. They come on a Saturday morning, early in the morning, when you're trying to rest. Now, listen, I failed science 4 years in high school. The last thing we're going to talk about science. I don't want you at my house. That is no. That was a good one because, baby, when a Jehovah's Witness thinks that they got you, they come in every day. Every day,
yep.
Two by two. You see their pictures in the Bible.
You know what? I can't. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my dude, Tom Cruise, thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well. You
everyone
as well.
Have a blessed
thank
one.
Thank you. You too.
You too.
Thank you. All right. We know that it's on a Monday. Yes, it is. And we have at this time the switch with Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
Good morning. Which was your favorite?
The left shoes. That was hilarious. That definitely sounded like something I would have done.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank God for your former life.
All
right. What you got for us today?
Today I have the switch with Shanti, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 185 is pay attention to your desires. And after hearing about all of the pettiness that people do in relationships, you know, God gave me the switch tip before you stated what the relationship topic was this morning. And it's like, wow, because there was a long period in my life where I was very vengeful. Like, I loved. And in 30 seconds, I could come up with 80 different ways to get back at you. And you wouldn't see it coming. You wouldn't see it coming. And I would just do. And some of the times, I would just, you know, do things. And it would take a person a little while to catch on as to what was actually being done. And then it was like, wait, you really did that? Or you? And it was just like so much satisfaction in that. And I was like, wow, God, like I had a true desire to get back at someone who I felt wrong in. Definition of desire, a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen or to have a longing for. And a couple of synonyms for desire is crave or covet. And, of course, you know, covet to be when you just have a strong desire to have something that someone else has. Like, not just, oh, I see Mary with a pair of shoes. That looks nice. No, but covet is, I want Mary's shoes. I don't want to go to the store and get the same type of shoes. I want the shoes off of her feet. And we really have to be careful as to what we're longing for. And naturally, our desires are the complete opposite of what God has for us as a person in general and us specifically, you know, like Shanti, like this is what I have for you. Like, I don't want, God is saying, I don't want anyone to be vengeful. I don't want anyone to long for anything that is of the devil. But especially for you, Joe, you, John, you, Mary, he has those target things that he really, make sure you're not wanting this, make sure you're not craving this. So I pulled up a couple of quick verses, and these verses were just like, whoa, when I read them. James 4, 1 through 3. Real quick, let's get this going. Let's get this going. Here we are. James 4, verses 1 through 3. What leads to the unending quarrels and conflicts among you? Do they not come from your hedonistic desires that wage war in your bodily members, fighting for control over you? You are jealous and covet what others have, and your lust goes unfulfilled, so you murder. You are envious and cannot obtain the object of your envy, so you fight and battle. You do not have because you do not ask it of God. You ask God for something, and you do not receive it because you ask with wrong motives, out of selfishness, or with an unrighteous agenda, so that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your hedonistic desires. And hedonistic means engage in the pursuit of your pleasure when you're essentially self-indulgent, when you're pleasure-seeking. So when God is talking about why do you think you're having all these fights within yourself, it's because all you're doing is seeking for things that are going to please you, whether it's sex, whether it's money, whether it's attention, whether it's whatever. That's fighting to have control over you. And those things that you desire in that manner, of course, are completely contrary to God, which means it's going to continue to draw that wedge in between you and God and in between you and Jesus. So you have to really make sure that you're careful with that. Now, anyone who has read Romans 1 understands the severity of your desires being completely contrary to God. Romans 1, verse 21, for even though they knew God as the creator, they did not honor him as God or give thanks for his wondrous creation. On the contrary, they became worthless in their thinking, godless with pointless reasonings and silly speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Going down to verses 24 through 27,
Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their own hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin, because by choice they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When we desire the stupidity, when we desire the lie over the truth, God doesn't have to do anything to us. All he does is just fall back and just let us indulge in our own sick, twisted, nasty desires. And when we do, we read further along in this chapter, you get turned over to your own sick, twisted mind. So when you notice that you're tweaking, as they say in the streets, or when you see other people bugged out, 9 times out of 10, it's because they have told God on multiple occasions, no, thank you, I'm good off of you. I don't need you to tell me how I need to live a better life. I'm good like this. And God says, oh, you are? So I'm going to show you how you're good like this. Psalm 36:4, Amplified Version reads, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. When you say yes to God and his will and his way for your life, he makes sure that your heart is in alignment with his, so that now the things you desire are the things that he already desires for you. So we have to make sure we're making the conscious decision of making the switch from being turned over to our own sick, twisted desires, because naturally we do not want God. Even after baptism, you still have to make the conscious decision every single morning to choose God over your flesh, to choose God's desires for you for that day over the desires you have for yourself. So again, our sixth tip, 185, is pay attention to your desires and make sure you're staying before God to make sure that the desires you have are the desires that he already has for you. Thank you, Pastor Seth.
Thank you, Shantice. Great switch tip. We pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Let's get our benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Jude 24 through 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. You know, we just spent the last 45 minutes talking about revenge. Shantice's switch tip. Be careful of your desires. You know, I'm paraphrasing. You know, when I think about all the things these people, you know, conjured up in their head, you know, these things are not of God. Well, first of all, because God says, vengeance is mine. You leave the revenge alone. Let me take care of all your, you know, experiences where people have treated you wrong. You know, I think a lot of people forget that God has also said, your enemies are my enemies. So, you know, the people who do you wrong, they're already on the wrong side of God if you're living on the right side of God. A lot of times we get into trouble because we try to do God's job. So you've done everything you needed to do in this relationship. And that's a men and female, because we heard, you know, from men and female. These was, you know, cross genders. Wasn't all women. Wasn't all men. So you have, you know, this relationship you're in. You're giving everything to this relationship. And what happens? They cheat on you. Nothing you did. People are just greedy like that. People are just, you know, indulging. People that will check those desires. You know, something good you have in your hand, you want more. And it's not just men and women, not other men and women. It's just period. You know, the switch tip was your desires. You know, watch your desires. So now they go and cheat on you, and they really hurt your feelings. Well, who do you think they're in trouble with first? They're not in trouble with you first. They're in trouble with God first. You're his child. You're his servant. You're living for him. And you go and you do something like that, and you're not on the right side of God at all. God will handle them the way he sees fit. And here's the thing about this revenge thing, and I always tell people, you know, when we seek revenge, we automatically get in trouble with God. Listen, I'm not trying to get in any trouble with God, and whatever I do, I'm now in trouble with God. Opposed to stepping back and allowing God to do what he does, you can't do it better than God. Have you ever heard of something happening to your ex, and it's not even where you've wished something on them, but just what's happened, and you're like, wow. Or somebody, you know, who did something to you, and you're like, wow. Now, look at how God dealt with that. Because once God shuts it down, once God does it, it's done. It is done. You know, the litter box dumped into the car, yeah, you know, it's going to be a hard time getting that smell out that car. I know it because I've had cats. And the last thing you want is urine. That stuff, man, is a killer. You know, but eventually it'll wear off. That's not all the time with God. I am watching now how God is dealing with people. And it's like, yo, I don't want to be on the wrong side of God. I really don't. Because let me tell you something about this leaving you to a reprobate mind. That there, you watch a person spiraling, and they can't do anything about it, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work, they just keep spiraling because they're not seeking God, because they have desires of their own. And, you know, I want to caution you about your desires, because sometimes we get caught up in, well, this is for God. Well, David wanted to build, he had such a desire to build that temple for God. He wanted to be the one to do that. And God had to tell him, he was doing everything he wanted to do that. God had to tell him, no, that's not for you. I am assigning that to Solomon. You know, remember, David was a man after God's own heart. So if God wouldn't allow David, as much as David wanted to build this temple, and God said no, he knew the desires of David's heart. He knew that whatever David did that he said was for God was really for God. God knew this. But he said, no, I'm sorry. Have a seat, because that's not your job. A lot of times we keep thinking, because it's for God, oh, this is for God, I got to do this for God, that it's okay. Check those desires, because it might be your desire, and it might be something from your heart, really, truly from your heart. But at the end of the day, does God want you to do it? And that's, I always think about David being a man after God's own heart, but yet God said, no, thank you. I don't want that from you. And we don't know why, you know, necessarily. We could, you know, there's some, you know, well, he had too much blood on his hands and blah, 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 you know. But what I'm saying is we don't know why God did not, if he was considered a man after God's own heart, God could have easily allowed him to do it. So ultimately, we don't know why. These are the reasons that, you know, biblically we read, but we don't know how much more actually was on God's mind or in that decision. We don't know. So be careful of your desires. You know, God, God wants me to have this. And when they get it, it's like so twisted afterwards. And you're like, wow, okay, God, please help me with my desires, because I don't want to be on the wrong side of this thing. I don't want to be where I'm thinking I'm doing something for you, and you're saying, oh, Stephanie, I really wish you would just put this down. I've had it where God has told me, take your hands off that. So there are things that you may be, and it was something that was godly, but God said, take your hands off that. And I did. And I did. And I was able to walk into whatever God had for me. You know, I was, you know, like, wow, God, you're taking away these things that, you know, make me, quote unquote. You know, this is what I do, and, you know, this is for you, and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wow, I hope I get it back. You know, not that particular thing, but just the ability. And now God is restoring in areas I had no idea he would even restore in. So that desires thing, yeah, you may want to watch that one, because, you know, it could definitely be out of alignment with God. And God is telling you, God is showing you signs, God is telling you, God is showing you signs. And finally, David got the message. God said, no, that's Solomon's job. That's what I'm giving him to do. He's going to be the one that does that. And he had to sit down. So check yourself. Any desire that you have, that it is really in alignment with God. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see the signs. Let me tell you something. If God is not going to okay something, and all hell is going to be everywhere you look. And that's what I've seen. You know, you sit back and you watch it like, they're going, people are going through literal hell. And I'm like, you really think God is going to allow? You know, you might say, well, there was Job. That was Job. Stop comparing yourself. That was Job. But if all hell is breaking around, do you really need God to come down here and sit in the seat next to you and go, hello? Are you not getting this? No, thank you. So those desires, and I'm looking at these relationship things and this revenge stuff and how people really were twisted because their desire was to have that relationship so badly. They wanted that relationship so bad that when it did not go their way, this is how they responded. And there's some real hatred in these revengeful moves. So that's why I love the switch tip, because the timing is perfect with the what we gave. So, you know, just be on the side of really hearing and watching for God in your desires, and make sure that your desires are really what God wants. All right? All right. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now. Later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares. With Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Until then, I love you.